Welcome to the April 12th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and the sermon is entitled, Just Fishing, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
Grab your Bibles and go back to the book of Luke. I know last week we jumped out to the book of John, and then we're going back to the book of Luke this morning. As you turn there, go to chapter number 5, Luke chapter number 5, and I got to ask a quick question. How many of you like going fishing? How many of you don't like fishing? All right. I see some have patience and some don't. My prayer, the Lord will teach us all something together today, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful today as we gather around the Word of God. You may think that we're just going to go fishing, but that is far from the case. 15 years ago, in March of 2011, a country song was released. And I'm going to say this, do not base your theology, your life on a country song. But this song highlighted the joys and innocence of childhood. A father and daughter outing that was labeled as fishing turned out to be cherished times and memories between a father and his daughter. The father cherished the trip because soon the pink rod and reel and the ballet shoes and the training wheels and the talks they had about little kittens would be traded away as she grew up into a young woman. The line that is repeated from this song over and over is, she thinks we're just fishing. The song goes on to tell how fast time is ticking and memories are big ones and we're just only fishing. But we ain't only fishing. Maybe today you can take that storyline from a familiar song and we are going to relate it to God's Word. I don't know if you like fishing or not, but if you like me, the fish have to be biting or it's going to be more swimming than fishing. If you know Jeffrey, Jeffrey lacks on patience. And so when I understand that, I don't have the patience. It's too unpredictable. One time you catch a few, the next time you catch a boatload. Man, that frustrates me. But it's also enjoyable at the same time. Some of you find relaxation and reduce of stress and activity and food on the table. So it's a blessing. But today we're going to take a look at a fishing trip that has nothing to do with catching fish. It may be the biggest, largest amount of catch that you will ever see on a fishing trip. But it's not about the fish. And so as we look at this trip today, my prayer is a fishing trip with Jesus will teach us more about Jesus than anything you think you know about fishing. There are three lessons. Jesus is going to teach us today that we need to relate not only to our fishing, but to our lives. And I'm going to say this, don't tune me out because you don't like fishing. Because I believe if we learn these three principles and we will apply them to our lives, the Lord will work in amazing ways. Let me start with prayer. Father, Lord, today, as we come before you and worship, Lord, we recognize, Lord, that we are unworthy. Lord, I am so unworthy to be standing before you teaching. And yet, God, you have called us together to worship you in spirit and in truth. And God, we believe that your word is truth today. Lord, take this story, make it come alive, Lord, and teach us, Lord, through your word, how to apply it to our everyday lives as we live for you. Lord, for that one that you are calling in this room today, God, I pray that there is no way they will not fall before you and recognize you as Lord. God, we give you our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter number 5, look at verses 1 through 3. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would just thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the people, out of the ship. When we think that we're just fishing today, the first lesson that I pray that every one of us learns is this, that you need to lend Jesus your boat. You need to lend Jesus your boat. As chapter 5 opens, we see the results of the miracles that Jesus has performed in the region around the Sea of Galilee. In Capernaum, he has cast a demon out of a man. He has been to Simon Peter's house and healed his mother-in-law. And he has healed others with diseases and sicknesses. And people are now proclaiming him Christ, the Son of God. The people wanted Jesus to stay, but he told them there's other business. There's other things that I must do. I can't stay here because God wants me to go other places. And so he went. And as he went, the people followed. The crowds continued to grow. And he finds himself by the lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee, whatever you want to call it. Those three names are interchangeable for the same body of water. It is where the majority of Jesus' ministry takes place. But Luke tells us something very important that we can't miss. The crowds are not coming. They're coming because he's done miracles, but they're coming for one other thing. They want to hear the word of God. Now, I pray that as you get yourself ready for Sunday morning and as you come to church, I pray that you come to Clifford Baptist Church because you want to hear the word of God. That should be our heart's desire as believers in Jesus Christ, that even though we are vastly different and we come from many different backgrounds and situations, we all gather and seek to gather in this place around the word of God. And in doing so, the people come and they have Jesus surrounded, and as he finds himself in between the crowd and the sea, he's not really looking for a way out, but he's looking for an opportunity to give the people what they want. In verse number 1, you see they want to hear the word of God, and as Jesus looks around, he knows the situation. This does not surprise him. He understands this. The beach could be a great place for the people to listen from. How many of you would like to go to the beach today? Yeah, I know some of y'all. Yeah, that's right. If I told you you could get sand in your toes and listen to Jesus, many of y'all would sign up for that, right? And so the people are looking for Jesus, and they find themselves on the beach. They want to hear more from him. And Jesus says, I've got to do something. I've got to give them what they want. And as Jesus looks around, he realizes the sea and the shore would provide the perfect acoustics. But where would he preach from? Look at verse number 2. He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. There's two empty boats there. And as Jesus begins to try to give the people exactly what they want, he takes advantage of this opportunity. There are two empty boats. Guess what? We see boats. Jesus sees a pulpit. Jesus sees an opportunity. And Jesus wants to take advantage of this opportunity to preach from one of these two empty boats. A long night of fishing have left the men and the boats empty and the nets empty. And Jesus comes to one of those boats, which belongs to Simon or Simon Peter, and he asks to borrow Simon's boat. Now, I don't know how many times that you have been fishing with somebody else. There's one thing a fisherman will not turn over, and that's the keys to his boat, right? You can borrow a rod and reel, you can borrow a lure, but if you ask to borrow the boat, no, that's a different story. Jesus comes aboard Simon Peter's boat and just simply says this, Simon, can you push off the shore just a little ways? I need to give the people what they want to hear. And so there's a lot to learn. Very quickly, people need the word of God. You and I need the word of God. We must get that, or we're going to be left empty, left longing, left looking for something to fill that void if we're not filled with God's word. And praise be to God, this is one avenue that you can get the word of God. People need the word of God. But also, we need to be reminded that we are to take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us to share the truth of Jesus. For Jesus, it was an empty boat. For you and I, it may be a workspace. It may be around the dinner table at home. It may be at the food line or the Walmart in our community. You need to take the advantages to share the truth of the Word of God. And the third thing we need to learn is this, simply this. We've got to let Jesus come onto our boat. We've got to lend Jesus our boat. You see, the Lord was already working in Simon's life. Jesus had been to his house because Simon's mother-in-law was sick. Jesus has been in this man's house, and though he may have known Simon, something didn't click in the house that will click on the boat. And as Jesus has been there and ministered to Simon Peter's family, he's going to minister to him again. Jesus encounters him as he makes his way, and he asks him to push out from the water. And I want you to know that this story is not about catching a multitude of fish. The crux of this story is about catching one man. And as we understand the truth of that, Simon Peter allows Jesus to come on his boat, and Jesus doesn't force Simon. The Bible says he prays to him, or he asks him, can I come on? Can you push out? Can you let me borrow your boat just to preach from? And as Simon launches from that shore, we've got to be reminded that sometimes Jesus will not work in our lives because Jesus does not have access to the area he needs to in your life. The boat was Simon's livelihood. It was what drove him day in and day out. And as Jesus asked to come aboard that boat, he's asking more just than a boat ride or a joy ride. He's asking Simon Peter, can I come into your life? I'm meeting you where you are. And today, maybe you're sitting here. Here's what you need to understand. Jesus wants to meet you where you are, but you've got to lend him. You've got to let him come on the boat. Maybe there's somebody in this room or watching live stream today that's been keeping Jesus at bay and will only let Jesus in certain areas. No, Jesus wants on the boat. And so today, as Simon thinks he's going to give Jesus an opportunity to preach to all the other people, Simon doesn't realize that he's going to have a front row seat to the greatest preacher that ever lived. Just by lending him his boat. Simon thinks he's preaching to the crowd, and no, Jesus is dealing with the man, the individual that is Simon Peter. This message is not for a crowd, it's for Simon, and Jesus wants in his life. So today, is there an area, is there a part of your life that you've got to let Jesus come aboard, let Jesus into, in order that he can work like he wants to in your life? And I will say this, you have a choice. You have free will to let Jesus into your life. You and I do. You can say, no, I don't want to do that right now. I believe the Lord gives us that will. And so today, when we think about lending Jesus, what in your life does Jesus want to be a part of that if you give it to him, he can have more of you than he does right now? Lend Jesus your boat. The second lesson on this fishing trip, look at verses 4 through 7. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Point number two, after you let Jesus on your boat or lend Jesus your boat, point number two, you've got to let down your net. How many of you know in order to catch fish, you must cast out your line? Or in Jesus' day, you must throw out the net. If you don't cast, you don't catch. Write it down. It's 100% the truth. If you don't cast, you will not catch. I watched my son fish the other day, and I enjoyed it. But I didn't catch a thing. He caught some, but why? Because I didn't cast. You will never catch if you never let down your nets, if you never cast. And so as we understand that simple principle today, Jesus, after he has preached, he's got to teach Simon his own little lesson. And so he says, Simon, since I'm on your boat, can we go to the deeper water, just a little bit deeper water, and you need to let down your nets for a catch, for a drought. You need to let down your nets so you can reel them back in. You can draw those fish in. Now listen, real quickly, there are four reasons why Simon maybe should not have done this. Real quickly, number one, they're already clean. Verse number two tells us that as the fishermen were at them, they were washing their nets. How many of us think that these fishermen, when they clean their nets, they're getting all the junk out of them, they're repairing them, they're cleaning them off for the next days of going out? And so there is the rule, the reason that we can't do it again is because, Lord, they're already clean. The junk is out of them. We don't want to get them dirty again. They're already loaded for the next trip. We can't do that. The second reason is this. We already tried it. Peter says this, we fished all night and nothing. We've already done it. We've been there all night and nothing has happened. We've already tried it. That's the second reason. The third reason, the wrong time of day. The fishing that was done here was done at night with nets. And it is during the daytime the next day, and it is just the wrong time. And how many of you know, or maybe you've used the excuse before, we're tired. These poor old fishermen been up all night and they have cast and cast and cast and drawn and drawn and drawn and empty net after empty net, hour after hour. Here's what they tell Jesus. We've done it all night long and we have caught nothing. How many of us have used one of those four excuses? When the Lord is asking us to do something, maybe we have told the Lord, it's the wrong time. I'm too busy doing this. I can't do what you need me to do. Or maybe we have told the Lord that I've already tried that. It didn't work. It's not going to work. It's not happening. Lord, I'm not going to do it. Maybe you have told the Lord that I'm too old and I've been doing this too long and I'm tired. God, I'm tired of this. There's got to be somebody else. Maybe, just maybe, we've told God, this is too much work. I'm not doing that again today. I've done it over and over. I'm not doing it again for you, Lord. No, I'm not. Here's what I want to say today. Peter says this, Lord, at your word. Jesus, because you say so, and that's the only reason, I will let down the net once again. If I had a bucket today, we could fill it with excuses of why ministry has been long and hard and tiring and things that did not work. But the one thing that the Bible never tells us to do is to quit doing ministry. We know it's long. We know it's tiring. We know some things are going to work and some things are not. We know that. But as we are faithfully following the Lord, we must be willing to let down our nets. And Jesus says one more time, Peter, will you let down that net? Simon Peter, will you let down that net? And he says, I will one more time for you, Jesus. As Peter yields to this, and he yields to Jesus' command, the greatest blessing of his life takes place. It's a life-changing catch. Don't miss the miracle. There's a miracle in the fish. There's a miracle because they have fished this sea all night long and there's nothing. How does nothing go to two boatfuls? without a miracle from the Lord. There's a miracle here as the nets begin to fill up and as they begin to stretch and as they begin to break. There's a miracle that as they begin to signal the distress call to say, our boat's going down, we need help. The other boat comes and they fill two boats with fish and they begin to take on water. There's a miracle there in the number of fish, but the miracle will have never happened if Simon Peter wouldn't have let down his net. And I just wonder today, how much is God have in reserve because Christians are not obeying his command and letting down their net as God has asked you to do? Don't do it because Jeffrey told you to. That's not a valid excuse. But if God tells you to do something and you don't, you're walking some dangerous territory. Simon Peter heeds the call to let down the net. We are reminded that we too must let down our net one more time for one more catch. Even if it's one more fish, we have reason to let down our net because Jesus says so. Some of us have reasons, excuses, probable calls to keep our nets in the boat. But if you let Jesus in your boat, and you let him be the guide of your life, you better listen to his command and what he asked you to do. How many times have we refused to drop the net? And here's the reality, church. I love every one of you. I love your families. I want to keep you. I want to grow this church. I want to do some amazing things. But here's the reality. God's not calling all of us to stay here in Clifford. It's comfortable to sit and stay. It's hard to go. Some of you are called to go, but you prefer the more comfortable seat. Some of you are gifted and talented, and that talent isn't being tapped into for God's glory simply because you won't let down your net. Some of you have done it for so long, and listen, church, you stopped. There's no reason. And what God is calling us to do, it's to let down the net one more time at his command, at his word. Be obedient to him. Jesus knew that Simon Peter was tired, that he had fished a long night, that he tried it before, that the timing wasn't right. But at his word, he performed a miracle to show Simon Peter. Jesus knew far more about fishing than Simon Peter ever thought he knew. And here's the truth. The Lord knows far more about leading the church than I do. Ministry and discipleship, teaching kids and adults about Jesus who loves them, who died for their sin, who lives so they have a hope for a future. Church, we need to let down the nets. And there cannot be an excuse of why we won't, because we will have to answer before a holy God for that. Some of us need to lend Jesus the boat. Some of us just need to let down our nets and be obedient to the Lord. Look at verses 8 through 11. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. The third lesson that we need to learn from our fishing trip today is sometimes you just need to leave it all for Jesus. We realize in this story that others are on the boat with Peter and others come to help with their own boat and their nets. We are given James and John's names as partners with Simon. And as that boat begins to sink, Peter's life begins to crumble. Peter realizes that life is far more than full boats of fish. but he recognized Jesus for his holiness and that Jesus was right there with him. His words, "Depart from me, for I am unworthy." I'm not worthy to be on the same boat that you are. I am a sinful man. It's my boat, but I need to get off because I'm not worthy to be on the same boat that you're on. This is a moment of acknowledgement, of worship, of emptying of himself, of surrender as he surrenders to the Lord. This miracle is personal to Simon Peter because he was the fisherman. He was the expert. He knew the spots. He knew the best time. He knew the way to fish. And in one miracle, Jesus shows him this: I am your Lord. In verse number five, if you look back there, you will see Simon Peter address Jesus as master and teacher. In verse number 8, you see that he calls him Lord. And here's what you need to realize. There has to be a moment in our lives where we recognize that Jesus is not just a good man or a good teacher or even a great teacher. We must call him Lord. This moment on a boat in Peter's world, in Simon Peter's world, Jesus shows him this: I want it all. I want it all. He tells Peter this: you're still going to fish, but fishing will look different than you ever imagined from now on. You're not going to fish for those little fish. You're going to fish for the two-legged kind. You're going to fish for men. And what does the Bible say that Simon Peter did? Oh, he hauled that catch back to the land for sure. But the greatest catch in the world, you and I would be snapping pictures and sending it and sharing and posting and telling the world about it. Peter leaves it all because Jesus is now his Lord. How does a story that starts with empty boats, empty nets, and empty souls turn into a successful day? Because the boat was filled with Jesus' presence. The nets filled by Jesus' power. And that soul of Simon Peter was filled with the proclamation, Jesus is my Lord. You think we're just fishing today. If you go home thinking about a boat and a multitude of fish, you've missed the message today. The audience that Jesus was concerned about was Simon Peter himself. This miracle was to show Simon Peter, you missed it in your house. So I had to come to where you live, where you work, and I had to show you who I really am here. That way you didn't miss what I want to do with you. I want to make you a fisher of men. And as we center ourselves on this moment today, maybe you are here and maybe what would make this day an even better day is if someone said, Jesus, here's my boat. Your presence in my life is needed. I need to make room for you in my everyday life. I'm so busy with so much, but Lord, I want you to come into my life and be the leader of it. Lord, here's my boat. Maybe you're like me. Your patience is waning and you get hard-headed and stubborn. And you just need to let down your nets and do what Jesus tells you to do. Maybe it's to go, maybe it's to stay, maybe it's to get involved, maybe it's to go to another church and help that church. I don't know what it is, but let down your net. Jesus says, at my word, if you are obedient to me, if you will follow me, I will give you the greatest blessing that you've ever imagined, that you've ever experienced in your life, if you will just listen to me one more time. So today, maybe you just need to let down your net. Trust him more day by day. Maybe today, as we think about holding on to hopes and dreams, you hold on to your own ways or your old ways, and maybe you only see Jesus as a good man. You see church as a good thing, something that you should do, but you don't see Jesus as Lord. And for some people, in order to see Jesus as Lord, they got to leave it all and devote fully to Jesus. And until you are fully devoted to Jesus, it's hard to make him Lord of your life. Today, Jesus is far more than a good man or a good teacher. My prayer is that maybe that one person that needs him as Lord, that you will see him as that, and your response will be that, oh, you are sinful, and oh, your unbelief, and oh, your doubt will be laid at his feet, and you will see Jesus for who he really is. Today, as you leave, do you call him Lord? Presence, power, proclamation. Don't close. Sit right there just for a second. Presence, power, proclamation. What are you leaving here? What are you looking for? We see in one man's life, Jesus met him where he was, and I believe Jesus will do the same thing to you. On this Sunday after Easter, Jesus still says, I went to that old rugged cross for your sin. I took your pain and your punishment, your penalty, because I loved you. I died on that old rugged cross, and I laid in a bar tomb for 3 days, and I rose on the third day, that if you by faith will come to me and trust in me and surrender your life to me, that I will lead you as your Lord. Today, if somebody needs Jesus is Lord, here's what I want you to say. Jesus is meeting you here. Jesus wants to get on your boat, get in your life, let you obey his commands. That way he will be your Lord. Let's pray together. Father, today as we come before you, in a moment of invitation, Lord, as you search the heart of every person in this room, Lord, you know where they are or what they think of you. You know how they see you, Lord, and as you beckon and call them, Lord, just to simply follow. Follow, and I'll make you fishers of men. Lord, maybe there's somebody that needs to heed the call to follow him as Savior today. Maybe there's somebody that needs to heed the call of ministry today. Maybe there's a saint in this room today that just needs to heed the call to let down the net one more time in faith. God, thank you. Or thank you for what you're teaching me. And as I share that with my friends and my family, oh God, I pray that you will just lead us to simply follow you and be obedient every day of our life. God, if somebody needs you, Lord, I pray they will come. We give you this moment in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.